Hello and welcome to French Football Weekly podcast. I can confirm we are the podcast that absolutely loves the last ditch challenge and would 100% give away a 2-goal lead to lose 3-2. My name is Chris. I am your host for today. And when there were four, everything was great. When there were three, everything was still great. So why can't it be when there's two? We can still be great, right? It's just me and Phil this week. How are you, Phil? How are you doing?
I'm well. I've just taken delivery of a lemon tree, so I'm feeling particularly happy with myself.
I mean, that is the content that everyone tunes in for. I can't match that, I'm afraid. I have no lemon trees. I do have some coconut biscuits. That counts, I guess. But other than that, I can't match a lemon tree. Sorry about that. I've also been to London for the weekend, so it was nice of my football team to turn up, but less said about that, the better. Right, as I said at the offset there, we have no Rich, no Jez this week. Rumour has it Jez isn't here because I was going to mention a game that his team were involved in. But no, all jokes aside, both are otherwise engaged this week. So me and Phil will do our best to take you through quite an interesting weekend programme in Ligue 1. So let's waste no time and give you a rundown on the scores. First up, Saint-Étienne 2, Angers 2, yet again, Angers probably coming away with what they didn't deserve, which was a draw. They probably should have won this game. Traoré and Fulgini got them off and running to a 2-goal lead. All was not well before. Wemby Kasri, once again, if he doesn't score, who does for Saint-Étienne with a wonderful free kick. And Nardé with a last minute, and I mean last minute, goal from a corner to secure a point for Saint-Étienne. You watched this one, Phil, Friday evening?
Yeah, it was, I think you say Angers deserved to win. They scored from their only two shots on target, which
that's also true,
perhaps tells you something about the continuing kind of woeful state of Saint-Étienne. Still to win a game. I mean, a 94th minute equaliser shows some character and they're probably very happy to have dragged a point out of the jaws of defeat, but it's still not good. And we saw before the weekend, the ultras had got banners out saying, who else got 24 hours to resign and stuff like this. And it's just all getting even more awkward than it has been to this point. I mean, they still haven't won. I was speaking to Nick Tarum, Space Coyote, on Twitter about this, and he says, this is ridiculous. Puel has his share of responsibility, but you can't consider him as the sole responsible of a current situation. Something I completely agree with, because this is something that has been a long-standing structural problem, I think, that Saint-Étienne just haven't built the squad over the past couple of seasons. I mean, Roman Humuma's going grey. I don't know how old he is, but
34, you know, I think.
Still a very handsome man, but the situation is not helping. And so I think, yeah, if you've got Kasri as your key goal scorer and very little else, then I'm not sure when this is going to get better. It's a really sad situation for a club with a massive this history club. And to be sitting in, basically. Dead last, 5 points, no wins, 11-4, 25 against.
Yeah.
I mean,
not the best, is it?
Yeah.
Not the best. I agree. Roman Humuma is indeed 34 years of age. And when you look at their marquee signing in the summer, a striker who was prolific in Uruguay, when Ignacio Ramirez, 107 minutes, no goals, no assists, nothing. So, you know, that kind of speaks volumes, what they wouldn't give for a striker. But nevertheless, as you said, they did get a point, which is better than a kick in the plums, as they say. However, there were no points for Clermont. Unfortunately, this weekend, they went down on Saturday to a 2-1 defeat to Nantes. Angers Girotto finishing like a striker for the opener before Bayo, who else, of course, with some really good footwork, actually, to manipulate the space and equalise before Ludovic Blas, who else, got the winner with a lovely sort of team team worked goal, pulled back from the edge of the box and finishing. There was a red card apiece in this game as well. Sebastien Corchia dismissed 9 minutes after Julien Gastien, who I think it's the second time the manager's son has been dismissed this season. Not ideal, but yeah, both seeing red there and a good win for Nantes.
My notes here say mild peril. And Bayo continued his interesting Saturday by being nicked by the cops for apparently crashing his car while under the influence and injuring two people.
Not ideal if that does turn out to be the case.
Not good behaviour. So Clermont having problems on and off the pitch at the moment. So we'll wait to see what happens with the Garde Vue for Bayo.
Especially not good timing, given the fact that a few big clubs were probably having a look at him ahead of January as well, which that might well change now. But as you say, all speculation at this stage. We'll see what comes of that. Speaking of speculation, Josielem Gouvenec's time at Lille is continuing to be discussed in the French press and beyond, as Lille once again failed to get a win at home, obviously having drawn in the week against Sevilla. Jonathan David put them in front with a really good goal, actually, has to be said, clever footwork and finish before Romain Favre equalised with a what looked like a slightly deflected free kick, but nevertheless, I don't think the goalkeeper did himself too much justice with his attempt to try and save a ball that was essentially straight at him.
And just to put that in context, drawing at home 1-1 to Brest, Brest are the other team in Ligue 1 who are yet to win a game.
Not ideal.
Not good.
No, not good at all. We shall see what the future holds for Gouvenec in the long term. One suspects it's probably only going to go one way, but you never know. On to Sunday, we are going to come back to Nice-Lyon shortly, so I'll save that for a moment. Also, Lens-Metz will also be coming up shortly. But elsewhere, Lorient and Bordeaux ended 1-1. Bordeaux scratching out of town with a very undeserved point, obviously. Albert Ellis with his opening goal since signing for the club in the summer, just after half time before Julien Laporte equalised with a header from close in. Onana was dismissed late on for Bordeaux, but ultimately the result did not change. So 1-1 draw there. Troyes continue to impress of late. They got another victory, which takes them comfortably sort of up the table in an upward direction anyway. Mama Belde equalised.
A comeback as well.
Yeah.
Were 1-0 down and came back to win 2-1 in the Derby du Champagne.
Yes, indeed. Of course, it is technically a derby, isn't it? Abdel Hamid's opener, by the way, in that game was a cracker. Really good goal. But Mama Balde almost equalised with a cracker, but ended up sort of sticking away the rebound after a back flick didn't find the net. And then Chevelle around with a pretty scrappy, deflected, bumbling goal, which got the winner. They won't care a jot with that particular finish. And a red card in this one as well. Gravelon sent off for two bookables in the last minute. So he was also dismissed. Rich was happy. Rennes got a 1-0 win over Strasbourg. Nathan Agurd with a late winner. 82 minutes. Of course, good header as well. Very, very good header from him. And winning goal. And there's also a very, very good save from Alfred Gomis in this particular game, which secured the points for Rennes, who, again, continue on an upward trajectory. And finally, before we go into our featured games, Monaco, fortunately for you, for winning 3-1. And to be fair, it could have been 6 or 7.
We were bad.
And they continue to be consistently inconsistent, Monaco. You know, one week we get this and another week we don't get very much. So,
If you're 2-0 down inside 20 minutes, there was very little push from Montpellier to, you know, as we've said multiple times before, selling your two best players in the summer window isn't possibly the best idea, or however financially required it might be. But Tizzy Savanier got one back late on, but it was done by then. So, good look.
The opener from Kevin Volland, who's finding some form once again with Sam Ben Yedder from Volland's cross, actually. Really good cross, but the defending, that was not good. I think it was Koza caught in possession and Volland with the outside of his boot setting up his strike partner. And Gelson Martins with a second stab at the Kai Enrique cross to make it 3-1 in the end with, as you say, Savanier's late penalty in that particular game. So, not ideal for Montpellier, but a good win for Monaco. That leads us on nicely to our featured games. We will, of course, start with Le Classique, albeit wasn't exactly a classic in wording. But yeah, two goals were dismissed for offside in this particular game. And Neymar's cross that was turned into his own net by Luan Perez was ruled out for offside against the Brazilian. And similarly, Arkadiusz Milik. Shame this one was disallowed because it's a really good touch and finish from the cross. But that was also ruled offside. Hakimi saw red for PSG with sort of about 20 minutes to go. And that William Saliba tackle that seems to have gone viral now, denied Mbappe racing through on goal with about 10 minutes to go, was also another particular highlight. Highlights off the pitch, maybe low lights, we should say, is once again more crowd trouble. Before we sort of look at both teams, I'm going to start with PSG. I'm going to throw this question at you first. It's a shame that Jez isn't here because I'd love to get his take on this. I might have to try next week. But I'll ask you the same question I was going to ask him as well. I don't think Pochettino's working, and I don't think he's going to see out the season. Any thoughts on that particular thing? Because I just thought PSG, once again, stunk the place out, relied on one striker who didn't get a kick.
But they're 7 points clear, and they're 7 points clear of Lens, who you have to imagine will drop off at some point.
But they should be, shouldn't they, with this squad now?
Yes, they should, but as long as they win... it will be, as again we have said before, what happens in the Champions League is the key thing. Mm. Now, here my notes say VAR says no for what in the first half looked like it might be quite exciting and turned out to be a bit of a weird game. It felt like PSG just couldn't put a move together, which, given they were starting with the big four, again, is concerning. And what was more concerning was Verratti going off.
Yeah, again.
Injured. When was that? On 45 minutes, went off at half time, and Idris Gunagay came on. Because if you've got a team where the defense and the attack aren't really talking to each other, then you lose your best midfielder, that does not bode well for what's coming up. So I think that's a big worry. I saw a great stat from Get French Football News earlier. Messi in Ligue 1 this season after 11 games, 13 shots, XG of 1.8, no goals. Now, we know he's scored in the Champions League. That's been very important. It's been very impressive. But to have a player like that on 1.8 XG and no goals, Mbappe seemingly still quite cross about life, Neymar being Neymar, it does feel like there is a soap opera up front that is just maybe not going to get a second season. You see what I mean?
It's almost like when you've got four massive egos, it's almost like that might not work. I mean, who'd have thought that might happen? I mean, you know.
Yeah, so I think we should say OM did a good job of shutting everything down and scrapping, particularly, I think the pitch invader who tried to hug Messi actually interrupted a PSG counter-attack. So even
a bit worrying as well.
Even the fans are getting involved. Yes, obviously, but
there was no issue. It should be said,
there was trouble again. Yeah, but they're still 7 points clear. I mean, they're having wobbles, but they've got the wiggle room to have a wobble, if that doesn't sound too much like the Wiggles.
That does sound like a kid's TV show, wiggle room to have a wobble.
It does. And at the moment, you get the impression that the front three, four, whatever, are basically kids' birthday party where everybody wants to play with the same toy and isn't at all going to help out the defense at any point. That's a terrible metaphor, but
no, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean, right?
I think I think my concern with it, and we will touch on Marseille in a second because we should mention those in a bit more depth, but my worry with PSG is they're putting all the eggs in one basket. And yes, they have been, you know, I wouldn't actually say they've been impressive in the Champions League because they played by Man City but won the game. They conceded two awful goals to Leipzig and could easily have dropped points in that particular game. Uh-huh. They've done enough and they will get through. But don't try and tell me that if they play a Bayern Munich, for example, in the next stage, that they're not going to get turned over. Because no, I think they will.
That would not be a nice watch.
No, I agree.
French football point of view.
No. And like I say, and I know a lot of people have said, people have criticised me, and you know, one of my friends on my own podcast is like, you know, why are you licking PSG's bottom, if you will, when they're as bad as the Newcastle and everybody else, and they're, you know, horrendous in football and all this? And it's like, well, you know, I even got accused by one person saying I was a PSG fan. I was like, I'm very much not a PSG fan, but I would like to see French clubs do well in Europe. And I would like to see, you know, I want to see these superstars, you know,
superstarring.
Yeah.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, having supported a club that once were the Invincibles, God, that seems like forever ago, but the football was really entertaining. And even if you weren't an Arsenal fan at the time, you could enjoy it. That Bayern Munich team, the great Barcelona teams. You want PSG not to go down in history as, oh yeah, and by the way, they won the European Cup. You want them to go down as French football's, you know, greatest achievers. And there will always be people that will say, oh yeah, but they were owned by a state and blah, blah, blah. Of course, that's always going to happen. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, to combat that, you want to say, yes, they were, but they did also provide some fantastic football, were a brilliant watch, etc. and so on. And right now, they're not that by any stretch. So I
think you might be segueing into our next game.
I am, but I do just want to touch on Marseille very quickly. I guess the main question I'm just going to ask you straight up, I mean, it, you know, is this a title race? Because the problem I have with Marseille is I just think that they're a little bit Goldilocks. Everything has to be just right. And if it's not just right, I sort of feel like there is going to be some, we're going to have another burnout like we did earlier on. And there's so many great components about them, but I do worry that there are a couple of key injuries away. I mean, whether you like or you don't like Dimitri Payet, he's been brilliant this season again. Everything goes through him. If he, you know, gets injured or decides he doesn't fancy playing for a while, which has happened, Milik is so key up front. That partnership at the back of Saliba and Chaleta Sarr, that's key. The goalkeeper's coming in, done really well. There's just a few areas that I just worry if they get an injury or two that this could all come tumbling down. Do you know what I mean?
I think that they've got a bit more depth than they used to.
Oh yeah, and they bought really well,
which is good. Mm. And Sampaoli sent them out in. It was more of a 3-6-1. I wasn't entirely sure because Under isn't. Is he a winger? Is he a wing back? I mean, he's
a winger for me. He's an out and out winger. Yeah, definitely.
So I think it was a bit of a risk for Sampaoli going out with actually quite an attacking lineup. And I think that
refreshing started as well.
PSG slightly. We're seeing good performances from Guendouzi, from Payet. And it's something where, I mean, they're a long way off at the moment. They're 10 points off the top spot. But they should definitely be challenging, you know, for podium places. Yeah. And so bearing in mind also, they have a game in hand, which will be played on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Against next mentioned. So that's going to be interesting because both Marseille and Nice are going to be coming into this off the back of good results, but of very different types, if you see what mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, momentum.
So I
think
that will be extremely interesting, and it's understandable why that will be played behind closed doors after the unpleasantness we saw in their first attempt of playing the game.
Mm.
But it would be nice to see that game with a full stadium, but these things happen.
Yeah, that will be definitely worth a watch, 100%. As Phil Wright said, that's on Thursday. I think it's on UK TV. I believe it's on
It's on
ESPN if you want to catch that. Oh,
Wednesday.
Wednesday, sorry. You're right, Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know why I said Thursday. That just
If
popped
you
into my
want to
head.
avoid the league, watch Nice v Marseille.
Well, I'll be watching that for sure. It wasn't exactly the game I hoped for first time around. So I'm hoping second time around we can go again. But that does very neatly segue us into the next game, and what a game. Nice coming from behind to win by 3-2. It was
Football, bloody hell.
well, yeah. I mean, I do definitely want to talk about Lyon in a second. We've got to start with Nice. Toko Ekambi and Houssem Aouar with the openers for Lyon. Both, arguably, I think on another day, Walter Benitez maybe does a bit better with. But then it just all changed. Youssef Attal scoring one of the goals of the weekend with a terrific cut inside and blast under or over, sorry, Lopez to make it 2-1. That was with 10 minutes to go, and I was watching this game and. I wouldn't say I checked out at 2-0, but I was sort of starting to do things around the house with it on in my, sort of on my headphones and glancing down every once in a while. And when that goal went in, I sort of thought, oh, 10 minutes, you never know. And then Tino Cadewere was dismissed with 5 minutes to go for, frankly, a shocking challenge, rightly received a red card via VAR. And then it all just went off. Emerson forgot he was a footballer and just made the most ridiculous challenge, probably rivaled only by Luan Perez's penalty gave away from Marseille last weekend. Equally stupid challenge. Who do you want over a penalty in that position? Andy Delors,
As I
fantastically
said,
taken.
sell all your best players.
Absolutely. And then it was a winner for a player who has come through the academy, Guissant, who's a new name to a lot of people. His first goal in professional football for Nice.
93rd minute got booked for taking his shirt off in the
Oh,
celebration.
and worth it for that. But
Completely understood. And I think Gauthier got booked
he
as
did
well for
coming on the
his
pitch, was it?
celebration on
Yeah,
final whistle.
it's but incredible. We'll talk about Nice first of all. One thing I do have to mention as well, if you're a fan of the thwack of the ball hitting the net, this was the game for you, because I think all 5 goals you could clearly hear them hit the net, which I do love. But that aside, I mean, let's start with the positives, and those being, of course, Nice. They were outplayed for large chunks of this game, and they didn't really offer a threat. Quite strangely, with Kasper Dolberg, who's been very good recently, he was very quiet. But it all changed on that Atal goal and that momentum. And it's all about Gaultier, isn't it? He's just got this never say die attitude. We saw it with Lille last season. And once they got a sniff in this game, okay, Lyon shot themselves in the foot, more on that in a minute. But this is the sort of performance of a team that's going to be up there, isn't it? I mean, to come from behind and win it like this is just
I think
amazing.
it's they say in tennis you've got unforced errors and forced errors, and I think Nice forced Lyon's errors. I mean, I was my aunt and uncle dropped by this weekend, unexpectedly. They live in Berlin. They're caravanning around Europe. And
Lovely.
so we went out to see the antiques market, had a nice lunch, and then they pottered off towards Carcassonne, and I checked the scores and tweeted out, if any Lyon fans can explain to me what the fuck happened in the last 10 minutes, then thanks. Tariq, our good friend LaFosse number 12 on Twitter said, all I can say is you can't spell Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde without the letters Leon. They just collapsed at the end. I mean, 10 minutes, you concede a goal, you get a man sent off, you concede a penalty, and then you concede a 93rd minute winner. I mean, the hell are they doing? And I think Nice's ability to, as you say, never say die, always think we can do this, to keep going to the absolute end is the difference from OL, where, as you say, when the Attal goal went in, it was like heads down, oh God, what's happening? Oh God, what's happening? It seems to be more a mental thing than a skills thing. And that obviously is something of a problem for Lyon. But it also bodes very well for Nice because they are never going to stop scrapping. So I think that puts them up there with Marseille, as I say, Lens with second place. I think Nice, they're going to have their wobbles as well, but I think Nice have got the attitude and they've got the management, which is going to say, okay, if something bad happens, we are not going to let that affect us. Mm. And you saw that in this game, but I think you will also see that game on game throughout the season. So,
yeah
it was a very interesting how that panned out. And when they play Marseille on Wednesday, I would put my money on Nice.
Yeah, it's because it's
I mean, home advantage means nothing if there's no one in the stadium apart from the coaching staff and the Eagle. But I think they are going to be on a more reasonable high than Marseille, and that's going to make the difference.
I kind of fancy that game to be kind of bonkers, actually, and I'm kind of hoping, and in bonkers in a good way, like I can see it being.
Yeah, I'm hoping
goals.
But the CRS aren't involved again.
Yeah, that would be. It seems like it's behind closed doors, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but the CRS can get involved whenever.
True. We can, but hope that it is just a good footballing game because on paper both teams look refreshed and back in form. So I'm kind of hopeful that does. That does end up becoming a positive. We do have to talk about Lyon, though. And genuinely, anybody listening in who's a Lyon fan, I know there's a couple of people. This is not me Lyon bashing because I do want them to be good. And I, as I said, preseason, I like Peter Bosch. But, you know, Lyon are just going to Lyon, aren't they? I mean, they were so in control of this game. They were so comfortable. They have been genuinely so good recently. And like you say,
they have such good players. I mean, you look at the starting 11 here. Paqueta has been brilliant.
Yeah.
Doug Kambe has, everybody kind of laughs about him a bit, but he's so solid.
Yeah, especially Power, play.
Kadewere, unfortunate. Takare, Guimaraes, Danea has been great.
Yeah.
Dubois has been great. Lopez.
Boateng's been pretty good.
How does this happen? How do they lose concentration and freak out that badly that many times in such a short space of time? It is, going back to Tarek's point, they're consistently inconsistent. Now they appear to be flaky as hell, and that is not something that is going to help where you've got a lot of other teams in the division both fighting for Europe, but also scrapping for their lives. I mean, if they go to pick's name out of hat, Nantes, my money would be on Nantes. I mean,
in Europe, you know, they're arguably outperforming themselves. I mean, another win in midweek, they won by 4-3 against Sparta Prague.
4-3 is not a comfortable score that suggests
defense
are doing particularly well.
And they were 2-2 in 20 minutes and then turned the game on its head to be 4-2 up before a late for third goal went in. But yeah, it is kind of bonkers. And if you look at that group, in terms of the Europa League, Lyon are top, played 3-1-3, only conceded 3 goals, scored 9, perfect record. I mean, it is very bizarre. It makes me wonder if maybe Peter Bosch is going to aim for that tournament, because on this form, or put it this way, on this consistency or lack thereof, Lyon are not going anywhere near.
That's a hell of a risk, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, it is. And I wouldn't be, but I genuinely feel like Ligue 1 is open for 5 or 6 teams to finish second this season. It really is, because we know PSG are probably going to inevitably take it. But with Lille dropping off, I mean, you've got any of, you know, Marseille, Nice and Lyon are obviously the big three. But I think you could throw a couple of other teams into that mix. Monaco, if they get their act together. You know, Rennes have been on the upward trajectory recently, and I don't think you can rule out. Yeah, Nantes are up there.
To watch.
You can't even rule out Lens, who we'll come on to in a minute, which I think we both agree might drop off. But you can't rule them out on the form that they're showing right now. So Lyon needs to be looking over their shoulder. Like we say in Europe, you know, they were very, very good. We should mention, actually, by the way, Marseille Lazio was another 0-0 in the Europa League for last week. So we should just mention that.
That looked a tired game for both sides.
It wasn't a fun watch, based upon what I saw, I must admit. It wasn't great. But, yeah, nevertheless, another point for Marseille. We just touched on Lens there, and I did want to give them some airtime. I think, I say, luckily Jez isn't here, so we don't have to go too much into Mets, who I feel for them, because there's a nucleus of a side there and there's some good little players, and Depreville's goal, by the way, was outstanding in this particular game, but unfortunately it counted for nothing as double from Saeed, who I think was at Newcastle once upon a time, if I remember rightly, Gnargo and that man from Chicago Fire in the summer, who Jez has mentioned, and I quite enjoy watching, Frankowski. He got the fourth and nail in the coffin, if you will. We just talked about Lens, and we said that the likelihood is they'll drop off. But the job that Franquez is doing there is genuinely incredible. Two defeats from 11 games this season. They've won six of those, drawn three. They've got a +8 goal difference. They're only, as at time of play, 7 points behind PSG with all of their riches and everything else that goes with it. They're a really good and fun team to watch. Like, they're scoring goals this season. I mean, what do they have to do to stay up in that top four or five? Is it just all about keeping the right players fit and consistency? Because every time I watch them and I think, oh, that might be a tough game, they just blow the opposition away.
So I think the issue with Lens is that they are a very good team unit. You look at the top scorer, I think, is Gnargo with three.
I will check.
I think so. So they don't have a single focal point. They have lots of focal points. Saeed, who got two at the weekend, is equal with Gnargo.
In fact, so is Fofana and Frankowski. Sorry, they've all got three. So that just confirms your point there, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where, yes, obviously, if anybody gets injured, it's always a problem. But it's not necessarily going to be as much of a problem as if, say, Kasri got injured for Saint-Étienne. So to be that high up the table without having a key man, as it were, that actually bodes well for them. Now, we both said we think they'll drop off because we're just not used to seeing teams like this keep up a good run. But that's not, you know, maybe I've just persuaded myself otherwise, that they did a very good job. I mean, they opened the scoring and then Mets equalised. You're thinking, okay, good. The FFW derby is going. Jez's personal vendetta derby is going well. But then they just pulled away. And I think that ability to, again, keep concentration and keep focused and make that happen is very important. It's kind of weird. The games they've lost, they've had two losses this season, were at home against Strasbourg and away at Montpellier. You know, maybe they haven't faced the big teams in terms of really high up, but I mean, they beat Marseille in the Velodrome. They beat Bordeaux away. They beat Monaco away. They've got this sense that it doesn't matter where they're playing or necessarily who they're playing, they are going to do their thing. And that is something that I think, is always, it's a good sign if you don't panic and change everything up to something that your players aren't used to doing. They're keeping that consistency. And yeah, I wouldn't have expected them to be still up there after 11 games, but they are, and they're doing very well. So
yeah, you can only beat what's in front of you, as the saying goes, etc. and so on. So, yeah, no, I tend to agree with that. And
I think Mets, with all due respect for Jez not being here,
they're in trouble.
They are in trouble. And the fact that, was it Diallo?
Yeah.
Keep scoring for, where did he go?
Strasbourg.
Yeah. Is probably making Jez more and more.
I remember him at the time saying, you know, why on earth are we selling him, like, not just to a big club, why are we selling him to basically a rival?
One of our rivals, yeah.
He's 100% so right.
That is...
It's a bit of a worry.
That I think is they are going to continue to struggle. Mm. And, you know, somebody has to go down. Well, somebody, I say, two teams, three teams, four teams, whatever the new rules are, which I've been avoiding. Yeah. Looking at.
It is, I think, like you said, it you get to the point where sort of 11 games, you start to then look at things and going, right, well, it's not like it's early in the season anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
this is, you know, we're getting on to a third of the way through.
Mm.
Everybody says, oh, let's, you know, see what happens by Christmas. But then obviously there's going to be more managerial changes. The window will open. Possibly they'll lose some more players who are going, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Yes, this is where the table starts to be something you do want to look at, as opposed to after 3 games.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's definitely one that we will keep a close eye on. Moving forwards, because it does, yeah, certain things seem to be, you look at certain teams and you think some are really struggling and some hopefully will be able to get their act in gear. But we certainly look at St Etienne and Mets as two clubs that are deep in the mire. So, yeah, a little bit worrying there. Just to sort of draw a little bit of a line, I suppose, under the European action, I did mention in passing there that PSG got the win in midweek, 3-2 against RB Leipzig, which does keep them sort of comfortably in qualification. Leo Messi with two and Mbappe with one. Nordin
Mukiele missing a penalty. Apparently, Leo Messi offered him the penalty, despite the fact it would have been Messi's hat trick.
Mm.
So that was all a little bit awkward.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, they were outshot by Leipzig, but Leipzig strike me a bit as being like a puppy in the park.
Mm.
You know, there's quite a lot of activity.
Not a lot of substance.
But yeah, 4 shots on target aside, and PSG made them count there.
Yeah.
So
got them when needed. Similar story could be said for Monaco, also, who got a very big win away at PSV in terms of their standings.
Minute winner from Diop
there. Yeah, and a goal for Boadu, who's not really hit the heights in Ligue 1 yet, but a good time for him to score. And really big win that for Monaco, who all of a sudden sort of found a good week of form, a good week to find their form with those back-to-back wins. So, yeah, you'd think that's going to stand them in that good state. Lille, we already mentioned earlier on, but they are, I mean, they're tumbling out of the Champions League. It's just a question of whether they're going to be able to get into the Europa League or not now with remaining fixtures with their game with Sevilla. We mentioned the Marseille draw. All of a sudden,
in the Europa conference thingy, another happy night for Rich, as Ren beat Enes Mura, who I believe are from Romania.
They
2-1.
Top of the league as well, aren't they? Top of their group.
Yeah, after Vitesse beat Spurs, which I'm sure you're happy about.
Oh, always. Any Spurs defeat is always a good defeat.
Spurs and Ren are the big dogs in that group. Ren possibly second. So to have that kind of status at this point is useful. Obviously, getting on board, getting the winner for Ren again. So, but no, they look like they are taking it seriously, and that is a good thing. They're not being complacent or anything, and they are topping a group that has Spurs in it. And I think that is something that we can look to for whatever you think of this competition. Mm. It would be really nice if a French team went all the way. And as you said earlier, Rennes do appear to be kind of gunning for that. And that's nice to see. If they can keep everything kind of level, they're fifth at the moment in the league, just on goal difference from Marseille. So, yeah, kind of ride this train as far as it goes, I think, is what the neutral would want to see. I'm not sure what Rich would say about that. But I think it's an interesting kind of situation they found themselves in, and they're on a great run in the league and a good run in Europe. So long may it last.
Yeah, who knows where it ends. And good on Rennes. And we should also mention that Marseille have got a couple of home games coming up in terms of their qualification, and they definitely need to win the next game, you would suggest, at home to Lazio, because they're three draws from three games and they're currently sitting third in the group. So now they've got those away draws. Well, of course, it was home to Galatasaray, but you think they need to beat a couple of these teams at home now. So, it's some busy times coming up for Marseille, who you feel we need to get some wins in those particular games. But we will, of course, follow. We've got a week off next week, or this week as it is now, so we've got nothing to cover this week. So we'll catch up with the teams when they go back into European action in a couple of weeks' time. So we shall do that then. Quick look ahead to the fixtures that are upcoming in Liga this week. So we mentioned that midweek game is first between Nice and Marseille, and then we move on to the weekend's fixtures, starting with Friday. PSG host the current champions Lille, and that could be if PSG were to open up on Lille, you could see maybe a parting of the ways between Gavanec and Lille. I just feel like it's a sort of fixture they need to perform in, so we shall see on that one. Metz, St Etienne, if there was ever a six-pointer, this is it.
Yeah, I feel like we should all go for a walk.
Yeah, I think Jez might go for it.
19th versus 20th.
Yeah. You just know it's going to be a draw.
Get yourself an ice cream, because my prediction is this will be a terrible match.
See, I'm torn, because part of me actually thinks it might actually be all right, but not in terms of quality, but it might be entertaining for the neutral. But
yeah, if you're a follower of either team, can either score nor defend.
Yeah, well, this is it, and this is where the test is going to come in terms of who can put the ball in the net, I guess. But
cat on the pitch, we can always hope.
You never know. You never know. Strangest things have happened. But that is very much a six-pointer. And arguably, so is the late game, which is Lyon against Lens. That's the Saturday night offering, which I shall be huddled around the TV for.
Yeah, that's, I think that could be good fun, because obviously Lyon, I think, are not where they should be, given their quality, not their performances. Mm. And Lens obviously are where they should be, given their performances and not maybe their quality. So I think this could be a very interesting game.
And they won't be afraid. They've already won in the Velodrome, of course. So they won't be overawed in this particular game. As for Sunday, the midday game is Angers against Nice. Angers, funny bit of form recently, and Nice, as we mentioned earlier on, hot off the heels of that win against Lyon. Of course, they will play Marseille before this, so we'll see how that goes. Bordeaux, I think for me, it's a must-win game at home to Rams on 2 o'clock games. This is the multiplex fixtures.
Again, they're next to each other in the table, so
yeah.
Could be Bordeaux. Could be shit, could be chaos.
They need to start finding. They need to start finding results at the Atlantique. I think home wins are going to be key for Bordeaux, because they're not going to endanger anyone at the top end of the table, but they need to make sure they keep their heads work very much above water. Montpellier Nantes again has the look of a fun fixture.
Well, I really hope this is, I mean, obviously I hope Montpellier win every game, but this I think will be important, or they're going to start maybe getting dragged into it. Also, amusingly, the family stand at Mosson will be a gigantic Halloween party. for the
as
kids.
You do.
So,
as you do,
stand out. If you get any footage of the multiplex, there should be a lot of kind of fancy dress and sweets and stuff going on in the bottom right corner of the faces.
Fantastic. So if the game is crap, at least it's something to watch on off the pitch for that game. You've got Strasbourg against Lorient. I'm sure I should be keeping close tabs on.
Next to each other in the table.
Yeah. And, so and I this,
this
one
is
has
the weekend of the hard fought
close to each other games.
Neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of fancy that to be quite a good fun affair. Kevin Gamero against his former club as well. Could be some quite good fun there. Troyes also represent, I think, what will probably be a good test for Rennes with their upturn in form recently. They host Rich's Men on 2 o'clock on Sunday as well. And then the final two games of the weekend, you've got Brest against Monaco, which is the 4 p.m. game. And wouldn't
I think
you know
Monaco
it, they should be
going to continue their good run.
Yeah, they certainly should
be. Don't see this as being Brest's first win of the season, I have to say.
No, so, and then wouldn't you know it, Marseille are on the telly on Sunday night. Who'd have thought they face Clermont away from home in a game that, again, Clermont proven against the big boys, they can match it. But you'd think that that Sampdoria's men will be looking to get all 3 points in that particular fixture. Quick side note, for anyone who happens to be listening who can offer me some help, this is my opportunity to reach out because I'm planning loosely, doing the air quotes there, I'm planning on a day trip to try and take in a Lorient game at some point, either over the festive period / New Year. That's my plan anyway. And I've worked out that I can get a ferry from where I live to Roscoff. And then it's a case of finding my way from Roscoff down to the port of Lorient. So if anybody's done that journey, who might be listening to this, particularly somebody from the UK or anyone who can advise me on who best to contact to arrange said trip, please do let me know because I'm intrigued. I'm not the best traveller. I need everything to be meticulously planned. So, yeah, I'm looking to get to Le Moustoir at some point, as I say, over Christmas. I'm just trying to find the right fixture at the right time. So if anyone can help me with that, please do get in touch. I appreciate it.
If I can just pop in, we've got a review of the Coupe de France fourth round up on the site today from John Mainland. The weather is getting increasingly inclement. So we have fewer photos than normal because
it's miserable.
Because it's miserable weather of an evening. But the fifth round took place at the weekend, so we should have something up soon on that as well. His beloved Limoges have been knocked out, but in an absolute barnstormer of a game. So I would urge you to go and read that. Catch up on the games that John saw and all of the news from around France before the national teams start getting involved and we start getting the big guys, you know, swatting the minnows aside as we head towards Christmas. So great work from John again. He met the Nexon Ultras, who to me sound like a kind of electric shaver.
Nexon Ultras. Sounds a bit.
But they are apparently half a dozen blokes, one of whom has a flair. So.
Excellent. Hopefully not in his orifice over the weekend.
No. French ultras know how to handle a flair.
Yes. If you haven't seen the pictures of the Velodrome last night, do look those up. That will give you the demonstration of said flair-based activities of French fans. So, have a look at that. Before we go, then, let's just give you a very brief rundown of the table because we haven't done that for a little while. PSG are indeed out in front, 7 points clear of Lens on 28 points, having won 9 of their first 11 games, one draw, one defeat in the mixture of that. Lens are in clear in second place now. They're 21 points. They're 2 clear of Nice, who are up into third with their third win.
Game in
finals.
Hand.
Game in hand as well, so they can indeed go second if they were to win that one, as indeed Marseille could also jump to second if they were to win by 2 clear goals in that game at Nice. They've got 18 points and sit fourth currently, level with Rennes, who also have the same points, unbeaten in 5. They have gone up to fifth with that result of the weekend. And then reading down, Angers, Nantes, Monaco, Lyon, Lille make up the top 10, probably the big risers in that Monaco, who've won four out of the last five, but as we said earlier, consistently inconsistent. And if you'd have said Angers and Nantes would be sixth and seventh at this point pre-season, I'd probably have laughed at you, but they're proving everyone wrong. Lorient in 11th place with 15 points, and they're a point clear of Strasbourg in 12th on 14. And then you've got a clutch of teams kind of close together. Montpellier, 13 points, 13th place. Clermont, also 13 points in 14th with Troyes, 12, and Reims on 11th, down 16th. And you've got a small gap to Bordeaux, who, yes, Bordeaux, hovering just above the relegation zone on 9 points. And in the mire, Brest still haven't got a win all season. 6 points with 6 draws, and those 6 points coming from 6 draws. Metz, just not good for Jez at the moment. Minus 14 goal difference, 1 win all season, 6 points. And finally, rock bottom, Claude Puel's St Etienne, 5 points, all coming from draws this season. 6 defeats, minus 14 goal difference, 5 points bottom of the table. And at the moment, as things stand, heading for Ligue 2, just while we're on the subject, very quickly to let you know, Toulouse lead the way in Ligue 2, and they are a point clear of Sochaux. So two old Liga combatants could be returning this season, possibly. And then if you look down the table, you've got Ajaccio in third, Le Havre a fourth, Auxerre fifth, Paris FC sixth, and Guingamp and Caen, formerly of the top division, ninth and tenth. So some regular members up there. Down at the bottom, though, Nancy, the bottom of the league, with 8 points. And Omiyana are also in the relegation zone, as are everyone's favourite, Bastia, who could be making a quick return back down the leagues if things continue the way they are. And sadly, Nîmes are also struggling. 4 defeats out of their last 5, down in 16th place. So, Ligue 2 is certainly shaping up. They've now played 13 games there. So there you go. That is as thorough as it gets, I'd like to think. So, Phil, I think we did a good job between the two of us getting through. The plan...
Villains in the stream. Yeah.
Absolutely. The plan will be to return to the full complement, or at least the majority of it, for next week's show. So all being well, we'll be back next Monday to look back of course, that midweek game between Marseille and Nice, as well as the full weekend's fixtures, I should say. And we'll preview the next European games, which I believe take place in a fortnight's time. So for all that and more, please tune in then. My thanks to you, Phil, for joining me on this voyage of the weekend rundown, if you will. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Splendid. Thank you, as always, for tuning in and for your tweets and comments and all of that good stuff. Keep it coming. And like I say, if anyone wants to put me up overnight or help me with some buses to Lorient, please do let me know. But until next week, I should say, I'll keep my travel plans to myself. Enjoy your French football this weekend, and we'll speak to you very soon.